Back to Matt Flynn, director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, a big development in the Wisconsin Election Commission's unbelievable. You know that a guy, Bob Spindell, is running for chairman. He's a Republican. There are six people on the commission. Three Dems, three Republicans. Every 2 years, they swap the chairmanship, and each side decides who they want, and then they unanimously get together. Well, there's no unanimity now. Another member of the, and by the way, Spindell's the fake elector, the guy who falsely said he was a Trump elector when Biden won the election. And I and every commentator in this country have urged Merrick Garland and the state AG to prosecute those people for falsely telling the Senate that they were the duly elected electors. And the clown Spindell is on there, and he's running for chairman of the WEC. And you know who is endorsing him? The Duchess of Foxconn, Lady Clayfish, Duchess of Foxconn, is endorsing Bob Spindell, the fake fraudulent elector, to be head of the WEC. This was too much for Dean Knutson. And I met Dean Knutson, decent guy. Dean Knutson's a Republican. But this is too much for Dean Knutson. He resigned yesterday. And he said, I've had enough of this. They call me a rhino, you know, Republican name only. I'm a Republican. The fact is that Biden won the election. Trump lost, and it wasn't due to fraud. I'm out of here. Well, apparently, of the three Republicans, only two were eligible to be chairman. Not sure why they say that. But now that Knutson has resigned, the only decent one left, the remaining guy who can even serve is Spindell, endorsed by Lady Clayfish, the Duchess of Foxconn. Spindell. You can't have him running the WEC when he falsely told the Senate he was an elector. Can't have that. Voss will name a replacement. He names a replacement that has any ounce of integrity. Suppose it could be that person. But, you know, Voss, look who he hangs with. Was he going to appoint Gableman? Kunyenga, Kapenga, LeMahieu, somebody else, some policy mule for the Republican donor cartel? Who's he going to appoint? I don't know who he's going to appoint. He gets to appoint. What if he appoints Gableman or Kunyenga or Kapenga or, I don't know, LeMahieu or anybody else? What if he does? There's bad news. None of the Dems will vote for him, and it takes a majority of the six, and there are three Dems. That, in effect, will destroy the Wisconsin Election Commission, which is what the Republicans want, because they want the election run out of the legislature and have the legislature pick the presidential electors. And the beauty contest presidential election is exactly that. It becomes a beauty contest. And then Gableman, Voss, Kapenga, Kunyenga, LeMahieu, Some of these people, honest to God, there's an aesthetic component to life, for Pete's sake. You know, why am I burdened with this every day having to mention these people? There's an aesthetic component to life, and it is being violated. Had enough of it. Talking about these characters, destroying Wisconsin democracy. We're going to the lines. Dan and Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dan?
Good morning, Matt. So I want to go back to the gun violence, if that's all right. To my mind, most of the problem that we are facing in this country with gun violence, it all stems back to the Supreme Court's interpretation of the Second Amendment. So what I can't understand is why, you know, nobody is attempting to rewrite the Second Amendment where it leaves less room for interpretation. I mean, it's not like we haven't amended amendments before.
No, that's interesting. Dan, how would you amend the Second Amendment in your view? What would they do?
Well, one of the clauses in it says that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, I know it's prefaced with for the purposes of a well-regulated militia, but to say it's well-regulated shall not be infringed, those are contradictory terms, and it's left wide open to whatever the Supreme Court wants to say it means. So, you know, maybe we need to just go back into it and say that, you know, the states shall have the right to regulate firearms, or if we want to keep it more federal, then maybe it should be that individuals or, you know, citizens have the right to keep and bear arms. However, there are certain regulations in place. I mean, we don't have to have flowery language. It can be explicit.
Yeah, that's interesting. Let me tell you my thoughts on that. First of all, the Second Amendment is in the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights are the first 10 amendments of the Constitution. And the best and immovable and sacred is the First Amendment. No established religion, which means separation of church and state, freedom of press, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to petition the government. When you try to amend the Bill of Rights, really that culturally has become like trying to amend the first, you know, the Ten Commandments. I mean, one of the commandments is thou shalt not kill. And some people say thou shalt not kill unless you're drafted into the army or somebody tries to kill you. You're better off just leaving thou shalt not kill and let a common law, it's called, of interpretation arise. And there's been plenty of common law of interpretation around the Second Amendment. And I'll tell you what's really weird is, by and large, except for extreme cases, the U.S. Supreme Court has tended not to take review of cases that do put restrictions on guns. So if you say it's up to the states, something like, 30 states wouldn't regulate them at all, which is going on right now. I think the better thing is a federal law that's binding on the states. You're never going to get Texas and Oklahoma and Alabama and Mississippi to do anything. I mean, Texas, you don't even need a permit. You don't need training. You can be 18 and walk in and buy virtually anything. And 18-year-olds have no judgment. I didn't when I was 18. I mean, your hormones are raging. The Army loves to get hold of guys when they're 18 because, you know, they're fearless. They don't think they can be killed, and they do nutty things. And you can train them, but they shouldn't have AR-15s. So my view is, let's start with the Brady Bill because it's passed the Congress, the House, it's in the Senate, it has a majority of the votes, and Biden's for it. Biden's for it. What's the problem? The problem is the filibuster. Let's override it for this one bill, plus voting rights. We can't. Why not? Because Manchin won't override the filibuster even for one bill, and neither will Sinema. That is the problem. That's why we've got to elect John Fetterman in Pennsylvania to take Toomey's seat. That's why we've got to elect a Democrat to get Ron Johnson's seat and get a few extra votes so we don't rely on Manchin and Sinema. That's the deal. Now, what would this say? Well, first of all, you start and you say there are going to be no sales under 21. Then you get to there will be no AR-15s, AK-47s, and semi-automatics like that. I'm not talking about semi-automatics people use to hunt, you know, that they can shoot several times. I'm talking about with large magazines that act like machine guns. Machine guns were outlawed in the 1930s, and they still are. And AR-15 type weapons were outlawed assault rifles in the early 90s. And it was Republicans who undid that. You start with that. And then eventually you have very, very effective legislation. So that's the way I would do it, Dan. I think trying to amend the Bill of Rights is trying to amend the Ten Commandments. And you and I know that there's a common law that's built up around it that restricts it somewhat. But I think the legislative is the way to go. Thanks for calling. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.